everybody this evening.
All right.
Okay with that. Well, I want to talk to us a little bit about something that we would normally cover on Wednesday night here in the upcoming weeks, about a particular shipwreck of Paul. Except for tonight, I'm just going to kind of introduce the idea and really the emotion behind what Paul was going through in this particular shipwreck. When we think about the life of Paul, we think about him being shipwrecked many times, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we learn that he says one of the things that he has suffered as an apostle is shipwrecked three times. A day and a night adrift in the sea. And we don't have any record of those three shipwrecks. We don't have a record of a day and a night sent in the sea. The shipwreck of Acts chapter 27 is a shipwreck that would come after the writing of 2 Corinthians. It was something that was written several years later, and so this would have to be at least the fourth shipwreck of Paul. And I don't know about you, but I have never been on a shipwreck. I've been in a car accident. And most of us don't like car accidents. They can be very scary. They can do a lot of damage to us. They can kill us. Or they might just shake us up. I think it was the day before yesterday, or maybe, no, it was yesterday morning. I was going through a stop sign, and I went through this stop sign. As I'm going through the intersection, I see this other car coming from the right side. And I slammed on my brakes because I was the one that was wrong. It was not a four-way stop, and I did not see the other car. Needless to say, I was really shook up the last, 2 miles driving home, knowing that I didn't see that car, and just in a split second it could be done, right? When you get on a boat, back in those days, of a nice big wooden boat with no engine, no motors, only sails, they had a pretty good idea that it was a pretty risky thing. And we've seen that all throughout the life of Paul. But what I found interesting is I was looking into this particular shipwreck a little more, and I was thinking about shipwrecks in the Mediterranean Sea. I came across this chart from a book from 1992 that the Mediterranean, as you look there in the early, the later BCE area, so leading up to the time of the first century, and then into the first century, into those first few things, you see that there was a spike of shipwrecks in the Mediterranean Sea at that time. I want you to notice that the two highest amount of shipwrecks happened in the century leading up to the first century, and then the first century in which Paul, the apostles, Barnabas, all of them would have been traveling on the Mediterranean Sea. That kind of stood out to me, that this record is very clear that there were a lot of shipwrecks in that area. In fact, one of the articles I came across, we normally think of, you don't fly over what area? The Bermuda Triangle. Well, you didn't take a ship in the Grecian islands, and even to this day, it is known as the shipwreck capital of the world, where they have found over 260 ships alone that have fallen in this little tiny 17 square mile area. I find that to be very interesting, in that it is through that area that Paul and these other men are often traveling. You say, Wes, what in the world are you talking about? Would you get on that boat? You've been shipwrecked once, right? Do you get on the next time? How many of us, after we had our first car accident, we got back in? You understand? This is your mode of transportation. This is the way you get, and when you've got a job to do as an apostle of Jesus Christ, guess what you do? You get on the boat. How many times does Paul tell us his own life means nothing to him? It is of no account, right? All I care, as we saw there in Acts chapter 20, was that he finishes his ministry. That gets us to one of the things that he is going to have to finish. In Acts chapter 27, if you open up there, we're going to start looking at a couple of things in Acts 27. This is at the time when he is being sent to Rome. Much like we were told at the end of class on Wednesday, that Paul was told by the Lord, don't worry, they're not going to kill you in Jerusalem. You must go and testify in Rome like you have done here in Jerusalem. It is while Paul is on his way to Rome that this shipwreck happens, okay? And I want to put up the map here of where he's going from. We're going to pick up kind of in the middle of this journey with our green arrow, or our green dot down here towards the bottom, down in Asia Minor in this place called Lycia. Okay, the region is called Lycia. They're trying to get to Rome. And we're going to see that there are quite a few complications to that, okay? So one of the things that we're going to see as we zoom in, that normally you have a little wind out of the south. And that's what our little arrow is. We got a little wind out of the south. And they would have passed along these islands, going down through them, and those are the Greek islands. And by the way, just north of those islands is the area known as the shipwreck capital of the world. It is right in that general region. And your text tells you there in chapter 27 and verse 7 here that we sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go farther, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmon. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with nautical terms. I am not familiar with nautical terms. I grew up fishing on a boat, but it was pretty non-nautical. It's on the right side of the boat, it's on the left side of the boat. It's not port side, it's not whatever the other side is. And I sure don't know what in the world a lee is or anything like that. But I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that if I have a sailboat and I'm trying to go south and the wind is blowing out of the south, guess what I know I'm going to have trouble doing? Going south, right? So what would they do? They would turn things as best they could. They would use the islands to their advantage. And there's where we get the lee side. This lee side is something that we'll see several times in the text. It's where you use the land to cut the wind off. So it gives you a barrier, okay? So if the lee side is from this end of Crete, and this is the island of Crete, and it said off of Salmon, this orange dot is Salmon. And so what they were trying to do is get behind there so that the south wind wouldn't have the same effect on them. You can see that, right? You can look on the map and you can see that if you're up there at the orange dot, it's going to be easier to sail south. But what happens when you get around the corner of the Isle of Crete when you get down there? Guess what? You still got the same south wind that you just had, okay? So you pick up in your text that it goes, verse 8, that coasting along with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lycia. So what you have is this yellow, or not the yellow, but the gray, is Fair Havens. So what they did is they hung around as close to the land as possible to get into this place called Fair Havens. Now I want to zoom in on Fair Havens. Fair Havens is this place down here with the gray where you can see there is a little bit of a curve there as it is. And I can emphasize that. But there's a little bit of a curve right there, a little bit of a bay. If I zoomed in even further, you would see that Fair Havens has its own bay. It was a place that was very secure from the normal south winds. Hence why they called it Fair Havens. And they have this place in there, and they finally get in there, again, with great difficulty. And Paul, it is late in the year, and Paul is saying, we need to stay here. We don't need to go any further. But they want to go up to Phoenix, up there, that blue. So you can see where the line they want to go. They want to go to the blue. If we can just get around this tip, yeah, the wind is going to be more, but yet we think we'll be able to go. Well, what happens, as our text tells us, I want you to notice verse 13 here. Now, when the south wind blew gently, that's nice, right? Nice little gentle breeze out of the south. Keep you nice and cool, but not too much in the way, not with difficulty. When it blew gently, supposing they attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and they sailed along Crete close to the shore. But soon, a tempestuous wind called the nor'easter struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. Well, what is that? They go out, it's nice and gentle, and then all of a sudden, the direction of the wind changes. And it comes from the land, it comes from the northeast. Now, did we have a northeaster that just came through yesterday? What were the winds like of that bad boy? They were bad, right? What was the coast like yesterday? It was choppy. I was driving out to Nassau, and I was going over the Throgs Neck Bridge, and I'd never seen the water like this in the bay before. Everything was white caps. And up out of the distance, you could see it crashing on the rock shore, and you could just see the water just going everywhere. That was a tiny little inlet that was completely inland, and yet it was still all to pieces yesterday. But what you really have is Paul out in a wooden boat in a hurricane. I want you to think about that. That is insane. And that is all the while with him saying, we should stay the winter here. But the professionals were saying, no, 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 we'll go to Phoenix. So what they do is they eventually just have to let the wind carry it. They can't fight against the wind. They can't even go and try to get this thing to happen. They're going down. And so they go down to this island. And this island is where they get their thing. So if you go down to verse 16. So running under the lee of a small island. Remember what our lee is for? Our lee is there to break the wind. So they're using the southern tip of this small little island that's about 30 miles off the coast. You have that there. They're using as protection from the wind. And while they have that protection from the wind, they put protection to the boat. They guard the boat. They put the undering on the boat. All of those types of things. And so they manage at the end of verse 16 with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. And so after hoisting it up, they use supports to undergird the ship. And then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, or the Syrtis, that's quicksand, that's the sandbars that come out of Africa, apparently, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. It's like, we're along for the ride. Let's see what happens here. We've done the best we can. But as we zoom out, I want you to notice that there is zero protection anywhere from that island. You have nothing but open seas in a wooden boat in the middle of basically a hurricane. That's insane, right? That is one scary thing that happens over and over. Finally, they are going to crash into this little tiny island off of Italy called Malta. I want you to notice what our text says here. It's somewhere here in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea that Paul writes, or that Luke writes this. Luke says, the next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, They threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. I don't know about you, but I have never quite felt like that. Where an apostle feels everything is done. And I want you just to notice that this did not happen overnight. The hopelessness was a process. The next day we did this. We've already tried to secure the thing. But the next day we had to toss some, or they tossed some. And then the next day they tossed more. And then finally, after many days, where you don't see the sun, or you don't see the stars, they have literally no idea where they're at. James, can you imagine flying blind in a plane? It's crazy, right? That's what they're going through. And they all say, we're done. We don't have it. But that's not the only idea. You ever felt like you were completely out? Let me rephrase that. I don't know how the right way to say that is. You ever feel like you have zero control at all? You are just getting tossed here, and then back here, and then back here. And you're like a little rag doll. Wherever it goes, that's where you go, right? And whatever, you don't see it, you got no control, you're trying to stand, and boom, the thing knocks you all over. You seen those videos of people being on cruise ships or anything where they get really in one of those big storms and the cruise ship starts going? There's one you can YouTube this thing called the Voyager in the Mediterranean Sea. And it is a cruise ship that you can see rocking side to side, looking like it is going to tip over, and finally it does get tipped over. I've never been on a cruise, but those of you that have, you probably haven't been tossed like that before. But maybe emotionally speaking, you've been tossed like that. There's the song that we sing. When upon life's billows, you are tempest tossed. I got to tell you, I feel like I've been through one of those storms, and the storms just keep coming. You're not supposed to be able to read it, Beth. It's okay. Yeah, the blue is not supposed to be able to read. The next animation will be what I want you to read. I want you to think about that. I've heard people talk about all my life about, I just remember when my mother was dying, or my father was dying, or my brother was dying. And how, for them, that was a period of time to which everything was a complete blur. Yes. It is a complete blur. And I'm pulling from people like Yvonne that send me texts weekly. And reminders. And I got Pat. Pat's not even here tonight. Pat writes me up this very nice letter telling me about the things that were going on when his mother was dying. And that's not new. I've heard of people talk about that my entire life. And I never thought about what it actually felt like to be in one of those storms. And that's like, man, that storm is bad enough. And then you have the girlfriend that has been sick for over a month. And then Friday has a procedure. You think you're going to get answers, and you turn around and you get punched in the gut, and you actually have more questions than you have answers. And it's like, man, we're in this storm where, not like Paul, where all hope is lost. But like this, you're in the tempest tossed, you're in the middle of the storm, and you just keep going one way, back to the other, then back to the other, and you just beat. I imagine most of you have felt some period in your life like that. Whether it was self-inflicted or whether it was completely out of luck or happenstance or just life. It's hard, right? And you just don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to deal with it until you find yourself there. And the Apostle Paul, he gets a cheat sheet. Because the Lord comes to him that very night that our text tells us that they all gradually lost hope and abandoned all hope. The Lord comes to him and says, not one person's going to die. No one's going to die on this boat because you have to go to Rome. Except, you know the difference for us? The Lord ain't coming to us in a vision at night to say, you have to do this. We're just tossed along, going along for the ride. Doing the best we can to secure the ship. Doing the best we can to make it along, but we got no guarantee. And that's why some people, when they get discouraged, they think all is lost. They get into that point where these storms just seem like too much. Their head can't stay above water, to use that figure of speech. And they say, I'm done. That's when the song says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It's not that difficult. It's really difficult to go through, but what the song is suggesting us do is not difficult. That if you just made a tiny little list of the actual good things that have happened during this so-called tempestuous time, do you know what you find? A long list of really good things. And so, I've made out lists about a lot of people in here. Because I'm trying to think of other people going through what they're going through. So I thought about Marie a lot. We think about Marie and Tim not having much money. That's not what Tim and Marie worry about. Marie didn't come up one Sunday asking for money in prayers, did she? She said, I'm sick. She said, I'm afraid I can't take care of Tim. But yet, you go and you drop him off a little bit of food, you'd think, man, you just gave him all this stuff in the world, and many of you have contributed to that. Mary knows exactly everyone who has done that. That's a blessing that they can stop and they can look at, and I'm sure that they have. Or you think about Matt and Peggy. Let's try that again. Maggie and Pat. Like right now, where's Maggie? She's in the hospital. Where did she just get back from? Taking care of her mother down in North Carolina. That was supposed to be this easy thing. Pat literally becomes a Christian just a few weeks before. And guess what? He had all kind of heart issues to start with. He becomes a Christian. She goes off for 6 weeks. That's really tough, right? But you know what I got from them during that time? I got phone calls. I got gifts. I got letters. I look at them and I think they got a lot going on. And they look at me and they think I've got a lot going on. Bill. Betty. We see Bill and Betty here on Sunday morning. We're ecstatic, right? Because we think, man, it's really hard to get out of here at 10 a.m. after a really tough thing. Or not even that. It's just really hard to get up and down their steps. But yet they're here. And we think about just those tiny little things and how, man, I don't know what I would do if I was in the second floor of that apartment building. I got to tell you, I'm not sure I'm going to be trooping like they are. In and out. And you think, man, I'm so glad I get to see that. That's a blessing to get to see all those types of things. And you just go on, you think about Yvonne's brother, right? And his wife. Daughter, pregnant, great news. But then what's the problem? Got cancer. What? This is supposed to be a joyous time.
But yeah, what do you have? You got cancer going. And then the brother, the son, he's all sick. He's got all kinds of issues. He's going to do surgery. And then lo and behold, not going to be able to do surgery because he got to fix all this. And they got one in one place and one in the other. And so you got the mom in one place and the mother in the other. And it's an emotional burden and a financial burden.
I see you just trucking right along.
People are going through all kinds of things. We go down the list here. Think about Trudy.
Trudy may be our elder member now here, right?
But you know what? Within the last year, went hospital, got out of the hospital, just a few days later, right back in for another long period of time. Was away from here for so often and was frustrated. Couldn't be here. And then just when everything starts to go better, loses her sister suddenly. And that's a storm. That is hard on people. But yet, look who's still here. All of you that are mentioned. I think about Marlene, right? Man, we think about all the issues that Marge had mentally and all those types of things. That was really difficult. But Marlene and Midland were the caretakers. And all of the stress, again, you've got a loved one who is dying. They saw it day in, day out. That's really difficult. That's really hard. And you can just go down the list and on and on and on and on. And you could find a tempestuous time or times that we're going through. And when it just seems like we're in the clear and we're safe from the winds for just a little while, the direction changes and we are just along for a ride and who knows when it's going to end. Are you going to let that take your faith away? Are you going to let that say, God, why would you do this to me? And I'll never trust you. I'll never believe you because blah, 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 blah. Or do we still have the same hope, belief, because when we're able to step back even for 5 minutes and say, you know what? Things are really not that. Things are hard and things are tough. Things are not that bad. How in the world did I forget Philip back there? We got Philip, man, oh man, right? Do I even have to go into what he and Bunny are going through? Mother? Philip himself? It's so hard taking care of her. Then you got to take care of yourself. And Nicole's mom. And all, you just, literally. You could go through it and you could find somebody going through something worse than you are. That's a blessing in itself. And so the reason why I gave you each a card is because I want you at some point this week to make the list. Name them one by one. I don't want to see the list. I don't need it. I don't care. But for our own spiritual well-being, we need to make a list. How did I forget Crystal's father and grandmother getting hit literally with another storm days after the actual storm hit? And here it is right back again. But you know what she said? I've always found this interesting. Whatever since she told me this time. They at least know what to do this time. And I think about how simple and profound that is. The first time you go through something, man, like what in the world do I do? And I think that's probably the case, right? The first time you go through a loss of a loved one, maybe you don't know what to do. But now after the experience, you have a better grip and a better handle on it. Or you go through a health scare or whatever the case might be. How true is that, right? The first time does seem worse. But maybe the second time's harder. I don't know. I haven't been that. I haven't got there yet. But here's what I want us to see, and here's where we close out. We saw neither son
nor stars for many days. I just got to be honest with you. A lot of our days on this earth will be very difficult. We've been sold a bill of goods by people that you're a Christian, life is going to be great. Read the apostles' lives very carefully and tell me if the majority of their days were filled with sunshine and rainbows, or if the majority of their days were filled with heartaches and toil and sorrow and all of those things. You can't sit there and tell me that the Apostle Paul might be the outlier. He might be the one that suffered the most in regards to the apostles. But Jesus says they're all going to be rejected from town to town. We know that they were dealt with in various different ways. And I got to tell you, thinking about them, that gives me a blessing. I've never had anyone, as we talked about this morning, take a rock and try to throw it at my head. I've never had anyone try to take me to the edge of a cliff or off to a water source and drown me. I've never had anyone come and do anything to my family because of my faith and my hope in Christ. Thank God for that. I mean, literally, the list could go on for days. If we just gave it any time. And so what we have to do when we don't see sun and we don't see stars for many days, we have to try our absolute best to find the stars and the sun. And who would that be? God. Find that peace, that joy in God, right? Isn't that what Philippians 4 says? In whatever circumstance I find myself, I've found a way to be content. It's okay. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. All those people were saved on Paul's boat. Why? Because they listened to Paul's direction from the Lord, and the Lord carried him right through. Just like we talked about this morning. If we put on that whole armor, and we fight day in and we fight day out, we will stand. We will overcome. Don't give up hope. Find those little things to get you through just that day. So I'll close with this statement. We normally talk about it one day at a time.
Mom said something the other day that I thought was just so profound. She said to me, it's not one day at a time. It's 1 minute at a time. I said, wow. That's a struggle that I don't know. But I tell you what. For you, it may be 1 month at a time. It may be 1 year. Somebody else has got something so much worse. And I'm not talking about mom. I'm talking about just somebody. They got it a lot worse than I do and you do. Man, oh man. 1 minute at a time. I got to tell you. I didn't see that coming. But when you see her, and boy, was I glad to see her. It's 1 minute at a time. This has not been about being a Christian. It's been basically about me just coming up and talking. I hope I haven't been an issue in crying. I forgot about the crying part. But I'm just real. I had no idea. Still had no idea. But I ain't giving up hope. All is not lost. You guys have proven too much to me that all is lost. And I don't want you
when you find yourself in that situation later on, or if you are now, to give it up. Because it's not lost. There is hope. If you're ready to become a Christian this evening, why don't you come now as we stand and as we sing.